right. Good morning, LifePoint Church. Thank you all so much for being here with us today, whether you're watching online or you're actually in person at our physical location. Obviously, I am not there. If you're watching online, you can see I'm in my house. The Driscolls are in about, I think, day 11 of our quarantine. You may or may not know, but someone within our family was actually exposed to COVID-19. And so just for precautionary purposes, we are following the instructions of our physicians, and we have self-isolated or quarantined for 14 days. So we have a few more days to go. Thankfully, everyone is healthy and happy, no fevers, nothing like that. So we're really thankful for that. But because of that, I'm coming to you from my house. So, but yeah, seriously, thank you so much for being here with us. Today we are continuing on with our message series that Daniel started last week and did such a great job of in the book of James. And the book of James is, it was written by James, who was the half-brother of Jesus, right? And it was written around 49 AD. And in this book, James really focuses more on the ethics of Christianity as opposed to doctrine. You see, he takes his influence for these five chapters from the teachings of Jesus, specifically Jesus' teachings on the Sermon on the Mount, right? And also he takes influence from the book of Proverbs, from the Old Testament. So from that, we know that this is a very practical book, full of just all kinds of knowledge and wisdom and things that we can put into practice in our lives today. Although he wrote this originally for the first century church, man, it is a wealth of knowledge and information for us still today. So last week, like I said, Daniel kicked things off with covering chapter one, which was not an easy task. You see, chapter one is like this overview of the entire book. So all the different topics that James is going to hit throughout these five chapters, he kind of like throws them all in this preview in chapter one. So Daniel had a tough task ahead to be able to bring that message cover that chapter within 30 minutes or less. But it was also extremely challenging for him because he only had like a few days notice. Like I said, we're being in quarantine. We weren't expecting that. And we found that out on Wednesday. So I had to hit Daniel up and was like, hey, can you hit chapter one? And he did such a great job of that. But you know, in chapter one, we hit that overview. And if you miss that, you can always go back and check it out on Facebook. It's still posted there. And then we'll have it up on YouTube probably about midweek this coming week, along with this one. So, but today, we're going to be covering chapter two, and which in my opinion is probably the most important chapter in this book for us here in 2020. Like it's the most important book for us, or chapter for us to focus on as we journey through the rest of this year and beyond. You see, James chapter 2, he essentially is discussing and revealing to us what true and genuine faith actually looks like, right? What it looks like to be a true follower of Jesus and what that type of life produces. But before we get into that, before we get into the chapter, I want to ask you a few questions that will kind of set the stage for what we're going to talk about. It's going to kind of be this gauge of how important this chapter is in our lives today. So let me ask, how many of you, and if you're there in person, go ahead and raise your hand. If you're watching online, you can, you know, leave a comment, throw up a hand emoji or whatever you want to do. But how many of you all have ever seen someone treated differently simply based on the fact, based on their general appearance, right? Treated differently, whether treated better or worse, but that they were treated differently based on their general appearance, right? Now, how many of you would say that you've ever seen someone treated differently based off their wealth or perceived wealth or based on their lack of wealth? How many of you have seen somebody treated differently for that? Okay. All right. How many of you all have seen a Facebook post or a tweet or something on social media this week where somebody was kind of putting other people on blast or another group of people on blast, just kind of talking crazy about them simply because they have a difference of opinion, or they believe differently, or they have a different political stance. And because of that, they kind of talked crazy about these people or this group of people. How many of you all have seen that this week? Right. Yeah, I know I have. Now, how many of you have seen this type of behavior that I just talked about in these questions, or some other negative behavior from somebody who claims to be a Christ follower? Someone who identifies as a follower of Jesus. How many of you have seen this kind of behavior or worse behavior from someone that's a Jesus follower or claims to be? Right. Yeah, I think it's safe to say that we've probably all seen and experienced that in some way, shape, or form. Probably even just this week. If you got on Facebook or any social media this morning, you probably saw it this morning. It just shows you how important what we're going to be talking about is. Now, let me get a little more personal, a little more maybe in your pocket a little bit. But how many of you would be honest, and you don't have to raise your hand on this one, this was more for self-reflection, but how many of you would say that you've been that person? Right? In those questions that I just asked about, you've been that person. Maybe you're that person that treated someone differently based on some type of external identifier, right? Or characteristic. Maybe you treated someone differently because they believe differently than you, or they think differently than you. Or maybe you treated them differently just because of the way they look. How many of you have been that person that claims to be a follower of Jesus, yet maybe your life is not showing much fruit? It's not showing much evidence of a life connected to Jesus. I want you to really think about that. And this, again, is why James chapter 2 is so important, because this is exactly what he's talking about today. So this chapter is essentially broken up into two sections, communicating two very important truths concerning what true and authentic faith looks like, what a true life connected to Jesus produces. You see, in verses 1 through 13, we see that James lets us in on the truth that how you love matters. And then in verses 14 through 26, he reminds us of how you live matters. And so that's what we're going to talk about for the rest of our time this morning. So let's go ahead and check these two truths out in a little more detail. And again, this first truth that he shares with us is the fact that how you love matters. More specifically speaking, how you love and treat other people matters. And as you'll quickly find in reading verse 1 of this chapter, just right out the gate, James is not pulling any punches. I mean, he is very direct and to the point in asking this question. Check it out. Verse 1, James asks, "My dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others?" Man, I want you to really think about that. How can you do that? Right? How can you claim faith in Jesus, you know, the one who gave his life for you, the one who forgives you of all your sins once you're connected to him? The one who extends to you mercy and grace over and over and over again, even when you don't deserve it. How can you say you have faith in Jesus, yet treat other people differently, favoring some people over others? The reality is you can't. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't work that way. James goes on to give an actual example of this in starting in verse 2 through 4. He says this. He says, for example, suppose someone comes into your meeting dressed in fancy clothes and expensive jewelry, and another comes in who is poor and dressed in dirty clothes. If you give special attention and a good seat to the rich person, but you say to the poor one, hey, you can sit over here or else sit on the floor. Well, doesn't this discrimination show that your judgments are guided by evil motives? And sadly enough, in growing up in the church, man, I have seen this very example play out far too many times. I've seen this example and other examples within the church of people being more favored than other people based on things like their wealth or their appearance or their dress. So it leads me to ask, like, how can we do this, right? How can we say that we're a follower of Jesus, then treat people differently? Because you see, the reality is that we can't. This type of behavior in treating others differently based off anything, right? Favoring one group of people or one person over another is in direct conflict with the very heart and character of Jesus. That's why James is calling this out. He's telling us that, hey, if you claim to have faith, yet you favor some people over other, man, there's a disconnect because those don't go hand in hand. That's what he's trying to let us know. Yet sadly, man, we see it all the time. We do. We see it all the time. As I said earlier, just open up any social media platform, right? Again, I'm sure this morning, if you opened one up, you've seen somebody, maybe someone that's identifying as a Christian, talking reckless and hateful towards somebody else or to a group of people just because they believe differently or they think differently or that they look differently. Like, we see that all the time. I mean, think about the history and the current climate in our country. And I know I'm probably going to step on some toes here, but that's okay. I still love you, and I hope that you still love me. But it needs to be said. The fact of the matter is this, is that our history here in the United States, all the way up till current day and time, is an unfortunate example of what James is calling out. Of people being favored over other people. You see, verbally and in some of our documents, we say things like that we are a Christian nation, right? One nation under God. We say things like God bless America. Yet we still are favoring some people over others. It's in our history and it's in our current time. As a country, we do favor some people over others. Whether it be our heartbreaking history of slavery or the continued blatant racism or systemic racism that exists today. The unjust treatment of not only Black people, but of all people of color in our country. Right? How we treat immigrants. I mean, think about that. How we treat immigrants, how we treat the lower class or poor people, how we treat the LGBTQ plus community. Think about how we treat those who are struggling with mental health issues. As a country, we have and still are favoring people over others. It's facts. You may not like it, and you may not want to agree with me, but facts are facts. And maybe even more sad is that the church here in America isn't much better. Like I previously said, I have seen and experienced people being treated differently within the church simply because of the way they look, the way they dress. They don't look like they have as much money as somebody else, or their color, or how they smell. Right? Or whether they have tattoos or whatever it may be. I've seen this so many times in the church that we are favoring some people over others. And James is letting us know that this has to stop. Like this can't exist. There is no room in the kingdom of heaven and in the church of Jesus Christ for us to be favoring some people over others. There's no room for it. We've got to do better. You see, because you can't honestly say that you are a follower of Jesus, faithfully seeking him, and then favor someone over someone else. You can't do it. In fact, James writes this in verses 8 and 9. He says, "Yes, indeed, it is good when you obey the royal law as found in scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself." Right? He says, it's good when you love your neighbor as yourself, when you love people. Then he says, but if you favor some people over others, you are committing a sin. Plainly put, you are committing a sin and you are guilty of breaking the law. As followers of Jesus, man, we are called, we are commanded to love our neighbor as ourselves. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves, and not to love our neighbor as ourselves if they think like you do. Not to love your neighbor as yourself if they believe like you, or if they agree with you, or if they look like you, or if they're from the same country as you. No, we are to love our neighbors as ourselves with no qualifiers. That means that we love everyone. No matter what. We don't favor one group of people or one person over another. Man, we love all people. No qualifiers. You see, you can't say that you're a follower of Jesus, that you have faith, and favor one group over another, one person over another. You can't do it. And that's why James is letting us know the fact that how you love and how you treat other people truly matters. Man, the second truth that James shares with us in chapter 2 concerning what authentic and true faith looks like and what it produces is the fact that how you live matters. So not only does how you love matter, but how you live matters. In verse 14, James hits us with another question. He says, "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say that you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone?" That's a very, very good question. Then he throws out another example. Verse 15, he says, "Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, 'Goodbye, have a good day, stay warm and eat well.' But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do?" Right? See, he says, So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Let me say that again. He says, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Then in verse 26, the last verse in this chapter, James says, "Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works." That's a hard truth. And at first glance, this passage of scripture might kind of sound to you that James is supporting or advocating a works-based salvation, which would be in complete contrast and would contradict Paul's teachings of faith-based salvation found in Ephesians in chapter 2 verse 8 and 9, where Paul writes, he writes this, he says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." So James is saying, hey, faith without works is dead. He says, if you don't have works, how can this kind of faith save anyone? And then Paul is saying that is by grace you've been saved through faith, not by works. So these sound like they're contradictory, but upon deeper study and investigation and understanding, their teachings are not in fact contradictory, but they are very aligned. Actually, they're perfectly aligned. You see, when Paul is talking about works here in Ephesians, when he's talking about works, he's talking about the works like the Jewish law. He's basically saying that you don't have to follow the law perfectly to a T in order to receive salvation, because Jesus died and rose again for us so that we could be forgiven, So it's by faith that you've been saved. But through the grace of Jesus, you've been saved. That's the kind of works he's talking about. And when James speaks of works, he's talking about works of faith. James is talking about once you have salvation by grace through faith in Jesus, that will produce good works. That's what James is talking about here. So basically, James is agreeing with Paul. He's saying, yes, we are saved by grace through faith. We are made right and justified by God through Jesus alone, by faith in him. And through that, you will produce good works. Basically, we're not justified or made right with God by good works, but for good works. Simply put, we could note it down like this. True and authentic faith will always produce good works. Let me say that again. True faith will always produce good works. Now, not that you'll be perfect, because trust me, none of us will ever be perfect. None of us. But when you have genuine faith in Jesus Christ, by grace through faith, you're connected to the Father, it will produce good works. There will be evidence of this faith in your life, evidence of a life connected to Jesus. And that's why James says that faith is dead without good works. And again, if I'm being completely honest, here in 2020, especially in America today, I see a lot of dead faith. I see a lot of people who claim the name of Jesus. They identify as a Christian, yet there's really no evidence in their life of transformation. There's no evidence in their life of a life connected to Jesus. There's no fruits of the Spirit. I don't see a lot of good works. And again, I don't say that in a judgmental way. I'm just stating what I see a lot of the time. And it's a major problem. It's a major problem because authentic faith will produce good works. Again, not that you'll be perfect, but if you are connected to Jesus, if you have faith in him, believe in him, you've given your life to him, then it will produce good works. And again, that's why James says, not only how you love matters, but how you live matters. Because the fact is that faith without good works is dead. LifePoint Church, I want you to understand this morning that you cannot have true faith without the presence of good works. It's impossible. Because true faith produces works. And again, that's why James focuses in this second chapter on the fact that how you love matters, how you treat other people matters, and how you live in general matters. And I want to encourage you this morning and throughout your week next week to really spend some time doing some soul searching. I want you to go back and read James chapter 2. I want you to pray through it. I want you to ask Jesus to speak truth to you about your life, not about anyone else around you. I don't want you to try to identify whether this person or that person is showing evidence of faith. I want you to focus on you. Spend some time with Jesus and find out and let him reveal to you whether or not you're loving people as you need to love them. Are you loving your neighbor as yourself, or are you favoring some people over others? I want you to spend some time and let Jesus speak to you about your life and how you're living. Maybe he's going to tell you, maybe this will be an assurance for you. Maybe it's going to be like, yep, I'm loving people. Yeah, I got some work to do, but I'm loving people the best that I can right now. And there's fruit, there's evidence of a connected life with Jesus because there's good works produced. Man, maybe I hope that's the case for you. But if not, man, let Jesus speak truth and love over you and telling you, hey, you need to get this right. Hey, you need to work on this. Hey, you need to get rid of this bias, this prejudice. You got to get rid of that. You got to start loving people more. Maybe he's going to reveal to you that maybe you're not truly connected to him. Maybe you've been banking on the faith and belief of your parents or your grandparents for yours, and you've never really had that personal connection with Jesus. And again, I don't say any of this to bring shame or blame or doubt. I want to encourage you to let Jesus speak truth to you. Man, LifePoint Church, may we be a church. May we be a group of people, a group of individuals that follows Jesus' command to love God and to love people. That we would be a church that is completely free of prejudice, loving and treating everyone with the utmost love, dignity, and respect, no matter who they are, no matter their socioeconomic background, no matter how much money they have, regardless of their race, regardless of their nationality, regardless of how they look, how nice their clothes are, or how weathered their clothes are, how put together they are or not put together. It doesn't matter. May we be a church that loves people, all people, favoring no one over others. May we be that church. And may we be a church that lives and exists to honor and glorify God in everything that we do. May we be a church that loves God and loves people. And as a result, may we produce beautiful works in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank you again for loving us. We thank you for your truth that we find here in James. We thank you for the fact that you pressed upon him to write this beautiful work. And God, I pray that as we go about our day today, or even now into some self-reflection, God, that we would look at our lives and allow you to speak truth on whether or not we're loving the way we need to love people, whether or not our life is producing good works like it should. And Lord, whatever you speak to us, may our hearts be sensitive and may we respond. May we receive your truth, no matter how tough it might be. And let us move forward, beginning to work on that, to change those things in our lives if they need change. God, may we love people like you love people. God, I pray that you would speak to each person that's listening, that's here this morning, whether in person or online, God, that you would speak truth over them, that you would speak love over them, and that we would be a people that loves you with everything and that loves people just like you do. God, we thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for this opportunity to be together, whether we're in person or digitally, just this opportunity. God, we're so thankful. And we love you, and it's your name we pray. Amen. All right, LifePoint Church, again, thank you all so much for being here with us this morning. And if this is your first time at LifePoint Church, I just want to say thank you for being here with us. I know this is a unique and interesting situation. Again, if this is your first time watching online, you know, you're at my house. If you're in person at our physical location, this is the first time I think we have ever streamed in a message. But if this is your first time, thank you so much for being here with us. And if you want more information on LifePoint Church, or maybe you want to know what it takes to be connected to Jesus, right? To have true and authentic faith and to be tethered to God for the rest of your life and for all eternity. If you want to have more information about that, or if you just have prayer needs, you can go ahead and leave a comment below if you're online, or you can send us a direct message, whatever you're comfortable with that way. If you're there in person, you can talk to one of our leaders that are there. They'd love to speak with you after the service. Or you too can also jump online and send us a direct message on any of our social media platforms. We'll get back in touch with you. We want to connect with you, and we want to help you as you journey through your life and journey with Jesus. Also, if you want to continue to worship with your tithes and your offerings, or if you just want to give to LifePoint Church, you can head over to our website. It's lpc502.com. Once you get there, in the top right-hand corner is an online giving button. If you click it, it takes you to a safe and secure place where you can give. Or if you'd rather, you can actually text to give. If you text your amount that you want to give to the number 84321, You can just text them out that way. If it's your first time doing it, there'll be a small little setup process, but after that, it's pretty smooth and easy. So, but however you choose to give, we're just thankful that you're faithful in giving back just a portion of what it is that God has blessed you with, and to giving to LifePoint so that we can continue to move forward and love people as God wants us to love them, and take care of them and bless them in any and every way that we can. Again, thank you all so much for being here with us. If you are actually there in person, go ahead and hang around for a little bit, because Jared and the team are going to lead you out in some worship. And if not, if you're online, thank you guys so much for being here with us. We'll check you out online throughout the week. Feel free to connect with us in that way. We love you guys. Again, thank you for being here. Thank you for being in my home and hanging out with us this morning. Love you guys. See you next time.